Good to see you this evening. Thank you very much for your warm welcome. I don't know where that boy of mine gets his cheek. I blame his mother. But it's good to come and share with you again, so thanks very much for your warm welcome. Let me bring you greetings too from our own fellowship in Ladywell. Things are going well. June started a women's Bible study, so I think there's 10 or 11 ladies coming tomorrow morning. We started a children's work on a Thursday evening. We can't get them into church on a Sunday, but we can certainly get them in on a Thursday. So you can pray for that and pray too that we get the helpers that are needed. So God's working away there, so we're very thankful for that. And I'm sure he's working here, and we often remember you and in our own prayers. Forgot what I was going to say there. But it's good to come and share. If you've got your Bibles, what I want to do this evening, I would like to look at the very first miracle with you. Hopefully just give you one or two new thoughts and looking at things, and hopefully we'll be able to glean something and learn something from the very Word of God. Before we do that, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all your goodness to us in Christ Jesus. We give you thanks for this fellowship. We give you thanks for the witness here in this place. And I pray again, Lord, that you would continue to use them and bless them for your name's sake. I pray you would build them up. We pray too for the pastor and for the leadership, that as they guide this fellowship, that great things might be accomplished in Cornton for your name's sake. We thank you too, Lord, for your word, which is the word of truth. We give you thanks, Lord, it's not just a book that informs, but it's a book that transforms. And so, Lord, we give you thanks for it. And as we come and reveal yourself to us this evening, as your word is opened up to us, that we might learn something new and something fresh, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. John chapter 2. Jesus changes the water into wine. I need my clicker. See, I'm just... Okay, this is the word of God. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. And when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." And nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. And Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. There are many things that we could bring out of this, the first miracle of Jesus, and I'm sure you know the story back to front, inside out and upside down, but we want to look at it with you this evening. First of all, I want to say this. Jesus had been invited to the wedding. Jesus was made welcome in the village and by the villagers of Cana, or else he would never have been invited. Elsewhere in Judah, he was not welcomed. But if I put that away, I just need to move forward a wee bit so I can see properly. Jesus said, well, I want to ask you a question is this. We'll ask a couple of questions on the first bit, and then we'll get tore in, okay? The first thing I want to ask is, has Jesus been made welcome in your lives? Jesus was invited to a wedding. And I trust you all know him. Jesus would love to be part of your life. He would like to be welcomed. He would like to be invited, but he won't force himself. Some welcome him, and some don't. Second thing is this. They have no more wine. And I want to just look at that there. This is a problem. So here's a question I'm going to ask you this evening. It's this. Have you informed Jesus of your situation? Whatever is going on in your life, have you told Jesus? Big problem. No wine. And so they came and they told Jesus. And Jesus told them to fill the jars with water. So the question is, have you issued Jesus with authority to deal with your situation? And you have saved the best till now. That's what the MC said. But I want to say to you that Jesus gives us the best all the time. And then further on in the chapter, we read that the Jews demanded of Jesus, what miraculous signs can you show us to prove your authority to do all this? So we know that the Jews were very skeptical of his authority. We read that in verse 18. But what I want to say in verse 11, you and I should be like the disciples and put our faith in him. So there you go. There's about 20 sermons in there. You know, but sometimes it's good just to break things down, take a step back and just read it again. You know, I know we come in from a different angle. That's not what I want to look at, but I just want to leave that with you this evening, because all of us should have Christ in our lives and he should have full control of our lives. And so this evening, we want to look at this whole incident here. I'm sure we're all familiar with the story of the first miracle. Jesus and his mother and some of his disciples had been invited to the wedding. The wedding took place, and this is just, just a wee throw-in thing here, but I'm sure you're very clever. The wedding took place on the third day, and many Jewish weddings took place on the third day. Do you know why? Because on the third day, when God created the world, he blessed it twice. Go and read Genesis. On the third day, he took a step back twice and said, wow, that is good. So a lot of Jewish people get married on the third day. That's just by the way. I'm just showing off now. But there you go, you know. But I want to look at that with you. And this is what it says. This is the first of his miraculous signs that Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory. And his disciples believed in him. So he revealed his glory. So not only had he come to Cana to perform this first miracle, but he came to Cana for the purpose of revealing his glory. Wouldn't it be fantastic to think that he meets us week after week in this place here, that he might reveal his glory to us? And we know that to be true, because I know Cornton, and that's why he comes to reveal his glory here. In the chapel, Trinity College in Glasgow, there is a stained glass window honouring the life and labours of a Dr. James Denny. That's him there. And beside the window, on a plaque, is inscribed the following: James Denny, supreme alike as scholar, teacher, administrator, and man of God, to whom many owed their souls. So that's a tremendous thing to say about anybody. You know, it'd be good if folk could say that. Oh, there's Duncan. You know, he got me saved. And I think it's brilliant. And Glasgow, well, Glasgow's a great place. I'm just letting you know that. But that's on the wall there in that chapel. But this is what Denny said. There is no gift of the Spirit until Christ is glorified, and he is glorified on the cross. And he also said this: the Holy Spirit has no place in any work which does not lead to the exaltation of Christ being first based on the historic facts of the gospel. So Jesus came that he might indeed show his glory. So you and I are encouraged to expect a continuity of his ministry between the life and work of Christ and also the life and work of the Spirit. So Jesus came to Cana that he might indeed reveal his glory. And when we come to answer that question, we can see too what the Holy Spirit wants to do in all of us as we look at this story with you this evening. Here's the first thing, and we're just three things I want to leave with you. You've probably heard this before, probably telling you nothing new, but again, it's good just to come and revisit again. First thing is this: Jesus deals with human failure. When you look at the story of the, you know, at the wedding, How often we read of disasters at weddings. Cars not turning up. That's one thing. It's the worst thing if a bride doesn't bother turning up. I don't know. I'm sure in Glasgow and elsewhere there's been punch-ups. So how was your wedding? Was it all right? And Jesus attended. This wedding could have been a disaster. At this wedding, the first thing we notice, I said, Jesus addressed himself to human failure. Here he was at the wedding feast, the situation in which the miracle was set. The wedding reception was spoiled because the guests had nothing to drink. And if I was in Glasgow, I would say, shockaroonie. But I'm in Derry, so I say, oh, what a pity. Someone has messed up big time. The bride's parents or whoever was responsible for providing had made a crucial error. They hadn't brought in enough. And here's this whole community had been invited and celebrating along with the bride and groom on their wedding day. And way back in Jesus' day, it was very, very important that whoever was providing the wedding provided what we would call a majestic do. Everything had to be taken care of and not to run out of one of the most important and essential items back in Jesus' day, and that would have been the wine. So to run out of wine would have been a serious embarrassment for the newlyweds and the parents. Now I read this. In these days, it was possible to take legal action against a man who had failed to provide an appropriate wedding gift. So if that gift was given, he could have been sued. You know, so you need to read into these things. But I doubt that would have going to be happening. But under the circumstances, the bride and groom and the parents would have, there'd have been embarrassment in the whole community because they never ever provided enough. And that would have been on for years and years, and people would have pointed the finger and go, oh, cheapskates, cheapskates. So human error was here. So the wedding feast was marred by breakdown, or what we call human error. Very, very serious. And so we know that Mary turned to Jesus, probably in a caring manner with anxious tones, and said, they have no wine. And this human failure was addressed and rectified and remedied by Jesus. Perhaps then this isn't surprising that this is the first miracle that Jesus did, for it's only an indication of what he did in all his miracles, his teachings, and in all his ministry. His whole life was addressed to the needs, the problems, and the breakdowns, and the failures in men and women whenever and wherever he met them. Doesn't Christ always meet us at our point of need? The gospel is addressed to a needy people, to broken lives, and to sinners. And our needs, our problems, our sin, and our failures can only be met in Christ. And what I want to say too, whatever you're going through this evening, if God brings you to it, be assured that he himself will bring you through it. And when we have a problem, we need to lay it at Jesus' lap and trust that he will help solve the dilemma. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And we can think of many stories in the Bible where Jesus met people at their point of need. I just want to look at two very, very briefly. First of all, do you remember the woman with the issue of blood that had been to many doctors over many years and they had failed? She still had the problem. She was not any getting any better, but she was getting worse. And then one touch from Jesus was what she needed. And all of us in our lives need that special touch from God time after time. Secondly, let me take you to the Sea of Galilee after the resurrection where the disciples are fishing. They've been out all night and they've caught nothing. Is there any fishermen in here? You fish? Why? I'm always amazed by that, why you can stand in water up to your oysters with a big rod for hours in time. But that's good. I'm sure you get rest and peace. But these fishermen caught nothing. And they failed. And then Jesus told them what to do. They cast the nets on the other side. And as we know, a full net. Let me ask you a question. I just assume you're well. Maybe I shouldn't do that. But if there's failure in your personal life, don't get drunk with pride, but be filled with the Spirit. If there's failure in your devotional life, don't have prayerlessness, but be filled with the Spirit. If there's failure in your family life, then you take it to the Lord in prayer. And don't get drunk in jealousy or envy or hatred or whatever, but God's word tells us to be filled with the Spirit. Jesus addressed himself to Cana, to human failure. And I want to suggest this evening that the Holy Spirit addresses himself here today to our human failures. So whatever it is you feel failed in, then you take it to the Lord in prayer. The second thing I want to suggest, and I hope you can bear with me on this one, is this. Jesus turns around human tendencies. I was trying to think of a proper way to say this, but this is the only thing that I can come up with here. Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and we know that Jesus has kept the best till last. And basically what we're saying is everyone at the beginning serves good or the choice. When you're involved in something, you start off, you're all in a high and we're doing everything as best we can. And sometimes as time goes on, we kind of drag our feet a wee bit and we get a bit slower and we're not so keen. Times in the natural order of things, we start off energetic, you know, and then we just drag down. And God said to the church at Ephesus that you have left your first love. You left God. God hasn't moved. It's you that has left. So this tendency to let things slide can bring you and I down. So be very, very careful. And so we see here that Jesus turns things around. He reverses the trend. This human behavior, this natural tendency, and it's good to know that the Holy Spirit, who does still on earth what Jesus did then, is able to reverse things. And what I love about this whole passage is that Jesus kept the best till then. So you always be your best for him. He gave his all for us. And so it's only fitting that when we're serving the Lord, that we try and give him the best at all times. But you and I have to give him full control. And there's another thing I want to just finish up with here, and it's this. Jesus invited human cooperation. And this whole thing, the other folk were there. Jesus invited those who were at the wedding feast to cooperate. He said to them, fill the water jars with water. Now I know, and you know, that Jesus could have acted alone. Jesus could have just went and changed the water right away. But he didn't. And Jesus is forever seeking human channels for doing his will. And you are one of those channels. And Jesus is seeking our cooperation. He wants us to do something. And we're meant to be in it with him. Does it not stagger you or amaze you to think that the Lord of glory would want your help? And yet he does. Give yourselves to him. So we've got this human cooperation with Jesus in this first miracle that he performed. And this is what Jesus used, what they had. How many water jugs did he fill up? Six. And they only used six because they only had six. They couldn't use eight water jugs, but they only used six. So Jesus will use what you have. I don't play the piano. That's a relief. So Jesus isn't going to ask me to play the piano for you, nor am I a singer. And Jesus isn't going to ask me to sing to 5,000 people in the Royal Albert Hall, no unless Jesus doesn't like them. So whatever God has given you, you use for him. And if you're not gifted in certain areas, Christ ain't going to ask you to do that. But what he has given, he wants to use. And there were six empty stone water pots. And we know these stone jars were used for ritual purification. Each water jug would hold about 20 to 30 gallons for cleaning people's feet. And so there we have it there. Jesus creates the good wine, the best, It made me look at that. If I had time, I'd go through it all, but I really don't have time this evening. It's all to do with redemption, which is given by grace. Jesus gives and gives and gives continually. Anyway, these six water jars had probably been filled previously with water, water that was used to splash on the feet of the guests as they arrived. And the water pots have had their purpose on a human level, and now they were to be used on a divine level. And you and I are just ordinary people, and God can use us. So as I said, don't long for what you don't have, but let Jesus have what you have. That's all he expects from us. And God has given us all gifts. Every person has their opportunity, and we all have something that we can lay at the feet of Jesus. And so these people did what Jesus had asked them to do. They did what Jesus said. No refusals. Acts 5:32 says this: "We are witnesses of these things, and so in the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." And I trust that we have kept nothing back. I hope that there are no refusals in our work for the Lord. I trust too that we don't hold back, but we use our gifts for his service. If the guys weren't up here playing, you'd be singing to nobody, or singing unaccompanied, which isn't the same, is it? I've heard them play. Anyway. And here it is. In all these things, his disciples put their faith in him. And when you and I come to the Word of God, it's for our edification. We open, or God opens our eyes to see him. God opens our eyes that he might reveal himself to us. So the first miracle was so that Christ could reveal who he was to the people. And by so doing, we know that the disciples put their faith in him. In John chapter 20, we read, "Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And lastly, he turned water into wine. What a transformation. And Jesus can take our lives and he can change them into what he wants them to be for his name's sake. And it's our lives that Jesus wants to transform, and he wants to transform them into his likeness. Some of his old songs, to be like Jesus, all I ask is to be like him. Water he turned into wine. What a transformation. And I would say, go and be filled with the Spirit. So Jesus dealt with human failure. Jesus turns around human tendencies, and Jesus invites all of us for human cooperation. And by so doing so, may we be an influence in drawing others to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Amen.